screaming.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Lose the game on purpose. I think that would be a hard one.
Lovie Smith is out as head coach of the Texans.
Green Bay, that's the season, boys and girls.
Just need some time to figure out what's best.
Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host Chris Long. Coming up, Michigan running back Blake Corum. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Roku channel. Yes, we are live on the Roku channel, which, by the way, is free.
Free.
Yeah. What's the word again?
Free.
It is free.
Free.
On all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs. You need to get sure you have an Amazon Fire TV, because guess what? The Roku channel's free there. You get the Roku app on your mobile device. Within that app is the Roku channel, which is
free.
That's right.
Free 99.
And then, hey, if you want to, if let's just say you're in the internet tubes, the RokuChannel.com, we're free there.
Free.
We say hello to our terrestrial radio audience on this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio network, smart enough to have us. We say hello to those listening on Sirius and XM. Sirius Channel 218, XM 202, the Sirius XM app, if you're listening on that app, 992, the Odyssey stream, live there, our podcast. This show is available in all 3 hours in podcast form every single day, thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network. There's our YouTube feed, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Over 500,000 subscribers there. Be a part of that movement. Subscribe to our podcast. Hit us with that subscribe button, please, as well. There's also the re-airing of this show. As soon as we're done on this hour, every single day, we re-air on channel 210 on the Roku channel. We also have a video on demand service there. Not only am I mentioning all this because I'm proud of it, but I have a feeling we might have a larger audience than normal right now, because we tweeted out earlier today that our next guest was going to be joining us at the top of this hour to make a very momentous decision here on the day the national championship's being vied for, just up the road at SoFi Stadium from the Rich Eisen Studio here in Los Angeles, California. Saw this young man at the Fiesta Bowl. Prior to the game, he was unfortunately in crutches. And I proffer to say Michigan might be playing in this game up the road if he was not on crutches and active, as he had a remarkable Heisman Trophy campaign season, 18 touchdowns, over 1,400 rushing yards. He is from the University of Michigan. Blake Corum here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Blake?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm doing well. So how are you feeling right now? Walk me through where you are feeling.
I'm feeling great. Honestly, I just got done doing a little treatment on actually, but I'm feeling great. I was actually out in California for 2 weeks doing some rehab out there as well. So still in the crutches. But they're coming off this week, and I'll be back and ready to attack everything.
Okay, so what did happen to you against Illinois that day?
Yeah, so someone fell right in front of me, jumped over him, and the safety just caught me right at the right moment, hyperextended it, tore my meniscus. It needed to be repaired, and I had a sprained MCL. So I tried going back in at halftime, didn't feel right. Tried playing Ohio State game, didn't feel right. And that's when they were like, you know what, to go ahead and get it repaired and get ready for the draft or you come back.
Okay, and so before we get to that moment right there, so you tried to give it a go against Ohio State. Was there a possibility? Sure, was there a possibility of you just maybe sitting out and coming back for the Fiesta Bowl once that was over, or you just realized that there was no chance for you to be playing again this campaign?
Yeah, there was honestly no chance, because, you know, I couldn't cut like the way I wanted to. Every time I would cut, my knee would give out. And so I knew going into the Ohio State game, you know, the MRI already came back. I knew it was a big old tear. But, you know, I wouldn't feel right, you know, not giving it a try, right? And I feel like I would live with regret. And so, you know, I gave it my best effort. Wasn't able to do what I wanted to do, but the guys got the job done.
Yes, they sure did. They sure did. And what's it been like for you watching everything?
Oh, it's been great. You know, just being able to see from the sideline, or even I had surgery right before the Big Ten Championship, or from the TV, the way, you know, my team, 143, worked together it was a beautiful thing. You know, the way I saw the linemen, you know, fire off the ball, move guys, you know, Donovan be able to make the cuts off of the linemen, and, you know, the receivers catching balls, the defense flying around the field. It was beautiful.
Blake Corum, Michigan Wolverines running back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, and I promised my guys here I wouldn't go full Jim Gray, LeBron decision, and carry this on for another 58 minutes. So let's get right down to it, Blake Corum. What is your decision for 2023? You have 1 year of eligibility left at Michigan, and you have till January 15th to make your decision to join the NFL draft. What are you deciding to do?
Yeah, it was a tough decision. A lot of nights, you know, I was coming back. A lot of nights I was going to the draft. A lot of prayer. But, you know, I'm a Michigan man through and through. You know, I love playing for the University of Michigan. I love going to the big house and just leaving it all on the field. I love the community. I love interacting with everyone, right? So this was a tough decision. It was a business decision. And I think, you know, I have unfinished business. I didn't like the way I went out in the big house. I don't like people remember me being hurt. And so, you know, I will be coming back for it all next year.
All right. Okay.
Coming back for it all.
Okay. So you are going to return to the University of Michigan in 2023 and play for the Michigan Wolverines. That is what you're doing.
I will be back at the University of Michigan, ready to excel and just do everything that we've been doing, but really just finish it off. You know, we're so close, and I believe in my teammates. I believe in this new team, Team 144, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to take a bunch of work, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. But you know, I'm ready to run it back. I'm ready to continue to be in the community. And, you know, there's pros to it. You know, I'm going to get my degree, and I'm going to leave my legacy.
So let's just jump into the other question to ask you about going pro or returning to the University of Michigan. That, I guess, way to put it, the khaki pant-wearing elephant in the room. do you think Jim Harbaugh is going to be your coach next year now that you are returning to Michigan? What do you think, Blake?
You know, that's going to be a decision that he has to make. I've loved playing for Coach Harbaugh. You know, it's been fun. You know, I love playing for him. I'll do anything for him. But, you know, that's a decision he has to make. You know, and I think it's up in the air right now. I think he definitely will come back. But, you know, you're not sure. You know, he has some opportunities in front of him. So he has to make the best decision for him, like I just made the best decision for me. And so, you know, I'm not sure what he would do. But if he comes back, you know, I would love to play for him one more year. But if he thinks, you know, it's better that he go to the NFL, you know, I wish him the best of luck, and I might be able to play for him there. And so, you know, like I said, I love Coach Harbaugh, but, he has to make the best decision for him. So, honestly, I'm not sure what he's going to do. We shall see.
Okay, so you have made your decision to return to Michigan independent of Coach Harbaugh's decision that
Yeah, that is correct. You know, I'm a Michigan man. I love Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I will be here one more year, given this university and everyone in the surrounding area, everything I have.
All right, so last one for you on this subject matter, Blake Corum. Have you informed Coach Harbaugh that you are returning to Michigan and had a conversation with him on this subject matter?
I talked to him this morning.
Okay.
And he was ecstatic. He was happy. And so that might be some good news. We shall see. But, you know, he was happy. We had a great conversation. I did inform him. I wanted to let him know before, I let the world know.
So you didn't ask him? You didn't say to him, Coach, am I seeing you in September? Or well, you just left? You didn't say?
Nah, you know, I kind of avoided that question because, you know, I want him to do what's best for him.
Right.
So I kind of avoided that question. But, you know, I told him I support him and whenever he does. You know, because that's how I really feel. I support Coach, whichever decision he makes. So I avoided that question, honestly.
Well, Blake Corum here on the Rich Eisen Show saying that he's going to return to the University of Michigan for his final year of eligibility there. So I'll just tell you here what I told you when I saw you and you were so kind to take a picture with my son. is I just love the way you go about your business, Blake. And part of that is when you said that you're part of the community, you really walk it, right? You don't just talk it, you walk it. And so you have used your NIL money in a very community-oriented way. Walk me through what you have done, because we have a bunch of photographs that I've seen and we've pulled here of you giving out gifts to the community. What exactly are you doing, and what is your mindset about all that?
You know, I'm really just trying to bring everyone together, you know, and I'm trying to put as many smiles on people's faces as I possibly can. And I have a great group of people around me that, you know, help me. And so, you know, we've done back-to-back Thanksgiving. We've given out turkeys. We've given out Christmas presents. I've held football camps. And there's going to be a ton of more. Since this is going to be my last year, I will definitely be in the community more than ever. I have some things planned for Valentine's Day. I have stuff planned for the summer. It's going to be huge. You know, I just love seeing people smile from just something small. And I think that's what the world is about. It's really just everyone coming together and just enjoying life because it's a precious thing. So, you know, I will be in the community. I love being in the community. And I can't wait, man.
Well, and we're showing some photographs of you. You know, the deuce is loose. There you are giving out some gifts and giving out some presents. And so you'll and again, now that you're returning to Michigan, you're going to do that again. So who you're from Virginia? Who was your guy growing up? I mean, who do you model your game after? Like, who do you model that after?
Well, in life, I model my game after you know, my parents, you know, my mom and dad. On the football field, there were some great running backs, but you know, a running back by the name of Barry Sanders played before my time.
Mm.
So I watched him on YouTube nonstop. I liked how elusive he was. I liked how he was able to make people miss, you know, take it the distance. He was just great, you know. So I love watching Barry. And I tried to do some things just like him.
Have you ever spoken to him? You ever chatted with him?
So on the phone, no, but we actually had a little conversation on Twitter, sometime this year, last year. We had a little conversation on Twitter. He kind of shouted me out a little bit for my game, and man, that meant the world to me.
Well,
I wish you could have been there to see my smile.
Well, that'll be a part of my gift to you of how you conduct yourself on the field, off the field, and then, you know, you wanting to make your big announcement here on this show. I'll hook the two of you guys up. This is going to happen.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
We're going to make this happen, Blake. That will absolutely happen. So before I let you go, what do you think happens tonight? Give me your opinion. You saw TCU in person.
Yeah.
I did as well, unfortunately. But the way that we saw it all play out, what do you think happens this evening for the national championship game?
I think it's going to be two tough teams.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be a very, very strong first half. And then after halftime, I believe Georgia will take it away. But if Georgia makes mistakes and TCU can capitalize, it will be a barn burner.
Okay. And then we also saw, you know, J.J. McCarthy standing on the field mm-hmm. last week watching the celebration for TCU. What do you think was going through his mind? Have you had a conversation with him, and how do you think that informs what will happen in 2023? Blake?
Yeah, I talked to him, and that was J.J. just getting fired up for another year. You know, I feel like he – in the locker room, I talked to him. I had to tell him, like, bro, none of this was on you. You know, it's part of the game. Stuff happened. He was upset, you know, about the pick sixes. And I said, listen, you know, that's part of the game. You did a heck of a job. You know, stuff didn't fall our way. But, you know, we had to get credit where credit's due. TCU won. But, you know, he has a fire lit in him right now. And he's going to attack this offseason. He's going to be better than ever. You know, being in the backfield with J.J., I saw him grow literally each week. And he just kept becoming better and better and better. And I can't wait to watch him. I can't wait to share the backfield with him again because he's a tremendous quarterback.
Okay. Blake Corum, last words then. I'll give you the floor. What does 2023, visualize it for me, look like for you personally and team-wise? Give it to me. What do you got?
2023 is going to be full of success for the University of Michigan. You know, we're going to grind our butts off. You know, we're going to attack this offseason, and we're going to repeat it. You know, we're going to repeat it, but we have unfinished business, like I said. and we will finish it off by the end of 2024. And so I'm excited, you know, for the Michigan fans listening. I'm going to give you guys everything I have. I'm going to attack this rehab, and I'm going to come back better than ever. And I can't wait to see you guys in the fall.
Well, you know, there's some people in Columbus that are, what's the word for it? I have it written down here. Butt hurt. There it is. And they're going to be aiming to come to the big house and ruin things. What do you have to say on that about that mindset?
I mean, they can try all they want, but I will see them at the end of November in the big house.
Okay, I will make a note of that. And I greatly appreciate you. And plus, Jim will be there, right? That's the idea? That's the concept?
That's the idea. You know, I'm going to have to go talk to Coach right now just to see where his mind's at again.
But, yeah.
You know, that's the idea. We shall see. Hopefully, he has some good news for us.
Yeah, give him the same Rich Eisen Show hotline number, Blake, okay?
What about that?
That's what we'll do. Thanks again for the call, Blake Corum. Congratulations on making this decision. I'm thrilled for you. I just want you happy either way. If this makes you happy, you know, obviously it makes me and everybody else who's a Michigan Wolverine fan or graduate happy. And thanks for already providing all those smiles. Appreciate it.
Nah, I appreciate you so much.
Right back at you. Thank you, Blake Corum. We'll chat again soon and look for Barry Sanders, okay? Keep an eye out for him.
Sir.
Your head on a swivel for Barry Sanders. That's Blake Corum right here. Still of the University of Michigan football program on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay.
Congratulations.
There you go.
It's the first time ever, right? Shows history that happened?
That somebody's chosen a hat?
That we've had a decision.
We'll put the hat back on.
Yeah, on the show.
Did I do a good enough job? I didn't drag it out.
Yeah, it was good.
Right?
I fully expected another half an hour, but you got to the point.
We easily could have taken this to the top of the hour. But
I could have the Boys and Girls Club of Inglewood or El Segundo.
Just roll out.
Just hang out. And we'll be right back.
You could have been wearing like a checkered shirt.
I could have done that.
Shirt.
Yep. Well, that wouldn't have been me. Jim didn't have a checkered shirt. That was LeBron, right?
Somebody needed to wear it.
All right. There you have it.
There you go.
Okay. 844-204-RICH is the number. I'm happy. Not going to lie to you.
Oh, I bet. You should be.
Very happy.
He's trending.
Is he trending?
Let's go.
Let's keep it going. Very good. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. We'll take your phone calls. You know what I have right here on the list? Top five most disappointing season teams of the 2022 NFL season.
Oh. Well, it's 2 through 6, right? Because the Raiders are 1.
It is. I cannot confirm or deny. But we will be back on the Rich Eisen Show with that reveal. Let's see if that trends.
Hey.
This is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/richpod. Head to netsuite.com/richpod for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/richpod.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we watch every episode of Smallville, a show that changed our lives forever and perhaps your lives too. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Hello, I am Tom Welling.
What was the sign off now?
Always remember Talkville.
That's it. Always hold on to Smallville, folks.
We love you. Couldn't do it without you. We've got a great season 2 coming up.
Catch up with season 1 or start season 2 on YouTube or wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show and the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, powered by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. That was great with Blake Corum, huh?
That was great.
Trending?
He's trending.
We made news.
Made news.
A national championship Monday. Yes. Well, the answer to all of that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Before we get to the phone lines, and again, I've got the top five most disappointing teams of 2022. Let's stay a little positive, okay? Last week, as we all know, our hearts were in our throats. It was a frightening week in the sports world, certainly the NFL world, certainly for the DeMar Hamlin family. But as we all know, as the week went on, the news got better that DeMar Hamlin did, in fact, survive cardiac arrest on a football field on Monday night due to the outstanding first aid he got on the spot on the field in Cincinnati.
Fact.
I mean, and the grace of God. Could you imagine if any member of the Bills training staff was, say, in the blue tent with somebody, attending to somebody? Like, you want to talk about the grace of God? Could you imagine if they were in attending to someone else and couldn't get on the field fast enough or not prepared? I mean, I've been thinking about it over and over and over again, but thankfully, smile on our face. And then the weekend hit and he's tweeting out like he's a 12-year-old with a new Twitter account, right? And then there was like a FaceTime that he had with Meek Mill and our friend Michael Rubin of Fanatics, a big smile on his face. Watch the game in his hospital room with his family, and the game hits. And we saw, by the way, the tributes to him prior to the game across the NFL. Saturday games, the teams praying and the fans showing up, everyone wearing Love for DeMar 3 t-shirts or the 513 t-shirts that were made by Cincy Shirts. We wore them on game day morning on Sunday, but it's time for the Bills to actually play the game. I'm getting chills, guys, just recounting this. I'm getting chills just recounting this. Time for the Bills to play the game. And they get the ball. And Nyheim Hines,
hit him with the Hines,
gets the football to start the game and decides to return it and returns it for a touchdown. Are you kidding me? And not and against not just any team. I mean, the Patriots have one of the best special teams players in Matthew Slater of all time. Yeah. I mean, and even Bills fans who love Steve Tasker can admit that Slater's on par. And Belichick prides himself on this stuff. And it's a game of Belichick and the Patriots need to have on top of all of it. And they get the ultimate possibility of joy and happiness and relief and excitement on the spot after a week of waiting and waiting and waiting for good news. Instant gratification. Unbelievable. Can't make it up. Proverbial can't make it up. Josh Allen after the game said it perfectly.
I can't remember a play that touched me like that, I don't think, in my life. So it's probably number one. It was just spiritual, and I was going around and I was going around my team and saying, God's real. Like, you can't draw that one up, write that one up any better. And I was just told by Kevin Kearns, it's been 3 years and 3 months. Since the last kickoff return, so it's pretty cool.
I love that guy, man. Makes me cry just watching him. 3 years, 3 months since their last kickoff return. It's the first time in 3 years and 3 months, and obviously the number three, we all know all that. And that got me on all the feels right there. And then, of course, the question followed, what about the second one? He did it again. He did it again. Ridiculous. After the Patriots took their first lead in the game. Because, by the way, how about New England, man? They took that punch.
Played well, yeah.
They balled out in the first half of that game and kept right in there and made and hopped on Bill's mistakes.
And Mac was playing
good. I mean, that catch by Jacoby Myers in the end zone, too, to tie the game at 7. They took their first lead in this game, and Hines hit him with it, right?
Yep.
For the second time. First time we've seen 2 kickoff returns for a touchdown in, wait for it, 13 years. 2010. I understand it's, you know, a new calendar year. But Leon Washington was the last to do it. And it's never been done to the Patriots, Belichick era or otherwise. Wow. Can't make it up. Amazing. Just amazing, amazing, amazing. By the way, I also thought it was beautiful before the Chargers Broncos game to send out the 2 threes. Did you see that? Derwin James and Russell Wilson meeting at the middle of the field.
That's cool.
Getting down on a knee. Beautiful. And DeMar Hamlin, here we go. You know what's being thrown out as an idea for a neutral site? I don't know if it's technically neutral. If the Bills play the Chiefs, is Pittsburgh, you know, going outdoors. How neutral that is. It's closer to Buffalo, and it's DeMar Hamlin's town, as we all know.
What about people are throwing that out? College Stadium. What about Notre Dame?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've seen Rose Bowl thrown out. I mean, but again,
you know, also something you got to look at as we get deeper into this whole numerology. When Nyheim Hines ran his second one back, it was the third quarter. They were down 3. Like, come on, man! There's just some of these things.
I do get into that.
You know. And 3 Patriots didn't want to tackle him on the play. That
look at
weird.
You going negative.
Well, I can't attest to that.
Let's go to the phone lines. Joe in Hermosa Beach here in Southern California. What's up, Joe?
Hey,
Joe.
Hey,
Joe.
My call.
What's going on?
I've got a little bit of a continuation of Overreaction Monday for you.
Got it.
I just think that the Ravens, after only losing by 11 to the Bengals with a rookie quarterback making his first start, may have a chance in Cincinnati if Lamar Jackson's able to come back healthy. What do you think?
Say that again. You cut in and out. Give him that one more time, Joe, the last part.
I just think that if Lamar Jackson's able to come back healthy, the Ravens have a chance in Cincinnati on Saturday. Excuse me, on Sunday.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think John did the right thing, and thanks for the call. I mean, Harbaugh did the right thing. If not, they didn't play Dobbins. They didn't play Andrews. It's like, what are we going to do? We're gonna play this and try and win and hope for a coin flip? Is that what we're doing? We're playing for a 50-50 shot at hosting a playoff game? Or are we just going to pull the plug on this thing? We know we're probably going to come back here. Let's throw a rookie that we're hoping that never will see the light of day in this game out there. Try to win it, play for pride, and go. Same way that you kind of hope the Los Angeles Chargers would do. honestly, you know, number of... Because Brandon Staley comes on this show, he's so smart and he's so affable, you know, and he's great with the media. I mean, he is out. He's dynamite. Los Angeles has 2 head coaches who are great with the media. One would think they would be smart to have a coach who's great with the media in Los Angeles. Again, the minute the Ravens started their rookie, you know, for Anthony Brown, his first career start, if I'm Brandon Staley, I'm like, okay, I get it. We're the 5 seed.
Yep.
And so, and we've been talking about all year long how banged up this team is. And their run that they've been on recently has been, you know, about how healthy they are and look how well they're playing when they're healthy. So why put them out there against the Denver Broncos? Well, you want to keep the juices flowing. Get it? Understand it. Herbert starts. They're all playing. They're up 14-7. At that point in time, I'm thinking, okay, you've made your point. You've got the juices flowing. You've got them suited up. Do what the Bucs did, which was right before halftime, pull the guys. Pull them all. You've got them flowing. You got them game prepared. You got them. So it's not like they're sitting around and they know all week they're not playing and they're totally rusty going. And like you've got the sweat has literally been broken. Mike Williams goes off on a cart. Joey Bosa looks like he's hurt, just to name 2. And of course, the 2020 hindsight now comes crystal clear. Here was Brandon Staley after the game about what was up with that.
Yeah, we were trying to compete in the game, and we only have 48 guys on the team that are active for the game. And so we wanted to make sure that they went a good ways in this football game and competed at a high level. And then when we felt like it was right for them to get out of the game, then that's what we were going to do, slowly phase them out so that we get them ready for next week.
With Justin, for example, is that appropriate to have been playing in the fourth quarter?
I believe that Justin played the right amount. I think when you look across the league at the other teams who were playing in the playoffs and what they did this last week, I think you'll see a lot of high-level players playing in their football games. I think that that's fair to say. I think you'll see all the big-time quarterbacks, big-time players were out there for their football teams because they have to be. Okay, there's only 48 guys that you can choose from. And these aren't easy decisions. They're not easy decisions. And hindsight is perfect for everybody on the outside. But these games are not easy to manage. They're not, because you don't have that many players. And we did it to the best of our ability.
He's right. It's not easy to manage. And the reason why Mahomes played the whole time and the reason why Jalen Hurts played while they did it is because they're going to have another week. So I understand keeping those guys in there maybe for as long as they did. Plus, they can protect themselves. And Herbert took a terrible hit, as we all know, earlier in the season, had rib injuries. I think he can kind of protect himself. It's the other guys, like Mike Williams, who's constantly hurt. Bose has been hurt for much of the time. And now he's right. 2020 hindsight is crystal, as I mentioned. It just makes no sense that the coach who plays nobody in the preseason is willing to come out of the gate rusty and get them up to speed at some point. I guess there's the more runway for the season. But right before the playoffs, wow, there's no runway left if they get hurt. And I understand there's no runway left to get them ready. Rust versus readiness. It's a constant conversation that you have. But when Mike Williams is maybe not active on Saturday night in Jacksonville, that's going to really leave a mark. And if Bosa can't go chase down Trevor Lawrence. So let's keep an eye on it for the rest of the week before we go all in on the coach and see how it performs on Saturday night. But for the moment, yeah, it doesn't look very good. And I'm wondering what was up with that. Tim in Michigan, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Rich, how you doing? Fellow graduate of the greatest public university in the entire world, Blue Know It.
Okay, Blue Know It.
Just wanted to talk about Blake's decision and the impact that the NIL has had since it's rolled out. I think we kind of didn't really know what to expect. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be the Wild Wild West. I think a lot of people thought the Alabamas and the Oregons with their night connections of the world were going to be able to just basically pay anyone they wanted on their roster. And today's decision by Blake kind of shows a different side of that in the sense of, you know, 20 years ago, Blake's probably a fringe first-round pick, early second-round pick. And now with running backs being less of a commodity in the draft, he's probably looking at going third or fourth round. And without the exact numbers of the guaranteed money, it's safe to say that he might make more at Michigan.
Yeah, sure.
Next year.
And in all honesty, when he said it was a business decision, I thought that's what he meant. But then he said it's unfinished business, and thanks for the call. But, you know, I know there's a collective, Valiant, where you can read about it. And, you know, that may have something to do with his decision about keeping players for one more year. I mean, that's an NIL collective that I'm sure – maybe other schools are mirroring as well. Like, there's just to tell players, hey, if you're thinking about leaving, the NIL might pay you more than whatever guaranteed, whatever you're slotted at, or whatever you think you're going to be at. Obviously, the knee injury is something to play into it. He said he didn't want to go out like that in the big house. But I'm glad personally that he's coming back. Mike in Brooklyn, New York, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. Mike is, for those who might be new, The only Colts fan I know with the thickest New York accent on planet Earth. Mike, you have the floor. What's going on, brother?
How you been? Gentlemen, Rich, but you're the man I got to talk to today, Rich, because what's more appropriate than two Brooklyn guys talking Indianapolis Colts and Michigan Wolverines football? I'm not exaggerating. I have come to the conclusion the only way out of this dysfunctional nightmare that Irsay has created is to not only hire Jim Harbaugh, but to empower him. Thoughts, please.
My thoughts are nobody knows with Jim. I hear it all over the map, man. And that's Harbaugh, not Irsay. And I don't know what Irsay wants to do. It's entirely possible, and I know Colts fans might be stunned to hear it, but it's entirely possible that Irsay thought the team played with a ton of moxie with Jeff Saturday and are just needed an extra tweak here or there in a fourth quarter to not give up 33 unanswered or to prevent another team from coming back from their 33 unanswered. And, you know, this, that, the other thing could have been, and you just like the way that Saturday did his business. I have no idea at all what Irsay is going to do. Either Jim, Mike, I have no idea what the two Jims in this possible marriage are thinking. None at all.
What you just described is possible, but the fact of the matter is that Irsay has completely gone off the rails on a crazy train. I mean, Jeff Saturday is not ahead. Frank Reich needed to be let go. He needed to be let go at the end of last year. Frank Reich was not the answer for the Colts.
Supposedly, I don't know. Irsay's
already met with Harbaugh at the Big Ten championship game. I know Harbaugh always enjoyed his time with the Colts. That's still my favorite season, the 95s. Obviously, the Peyton Manning years.
Yeah.
But the 95 season with Harbaugh.
Captain
and
Comeback.
Marshall Faulk.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill Tobin put that team together after his father finally removed Jim Irsay from football decisions. It was probably the only good move his father ever made as owner. And from what I'm hearing, it sounds like he's already met with Harbaugh, probably has offered him the job, because if this team is going to go off the rails completely, if it's a Jeff Saturday, I mean, they're the laughing stock of the league right now, and everybody in the league knows it.
Well,
Saturday is not qualified to be a head coach.
Well, the 95 team, and thanks for the call, Mike. Happy New Year to you. You know, the Jim Harbaugh 95 team is what put Jim's name on the Ring of Honor. It's inside the stadium there. Peyton Manning's statue's on the outside. Jim Harbaugh's name's on the inside as well. So I have no idea, man. I've heard about Harbaugh. I've heard all over the map and from him, where he's just like, I'm enthusiastically, all you haters out there, I'm enthusiastically coming back. He says that on a Fiesta Bowl call. And then he speaks to some publication, with all due respect, I have not heard of, what, Queen City News in Carolina, after he talks to the owner. A report is that he's the one who reached out to them, not they to him.
Right.
And he's just like, I can't predict the future. No one knows the future. I envision myself coming back to coach Michigan. You hear every narrative is that if he had only beaten his brother in the Super Bowl, maybe he would never gone to Michigan. He'd still be there. But the fact that he lost the Super Bowl and to his brother, it's some sort of familial rivalry that causes him to tilt at the NFL Super Bowl windmill. He can't get it out of his system. And then I hear through other people, he wants to be Bo. He wants to be Bo, and he wants to be the legacy of his head coach. Like, he wants to be the new millennium Bo. And he's not going anywhere. And the only reason why he keeps kicking the tires in the NFL is he feels like he should be paid more, even though he doesn't spend money. Like, he's just, it's not like he's going to, he just wants to be respected. I mean, no, it's shapeshifts every single day.
Depends what day it is.
I'm just going to be calm about it and just chill, because if it makes him happy to go, then he should go. If it makes him happy to stay, then that's great. But I'm not going to sit here like last year where I was just like, he's blowing the opportunity of following up on a great year, because that blown opportunity only wound up with a 13-0.
Right.
And a Fiesta Bowl appearance.
Yeah, right.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. The top five most disappointing teams of the NFL season 2022. It's cathartic for me. In many ways, that's next.
Now, you're a list guy now.
I'm a list guy. If you don't know your numbers, you do not know your business. And that is the message from NetSuite by Oracle. It is 2023, and it's time for you to get rid of the poor visibility. Certainly, if you are running your business, are relying on outdated financial software and relying on spreadsheets like it's any old time. Because right now, the number one cloud financial system, NetSuite by Oracle, is available for you. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, inventory, budgeting. You can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. In 2023, profit's the new growth, folks. So know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. I'm going to get stuff off my chest here in the form of a list. My first list of 2023.
Hey.
Season's over, folks, for all of these teams. As we all know, 32 minus 14 equals what, 18, right?
Correct, 18.
There are 18 teams. I've got five that made the most disappointing teams list of the 2022 NFL season. Hit it, Mike Del Tufo. Not all these teams are ones that had high expectations coming into the season. There's one on this list that had zero expectations coming into this season, but the middle of the season showed that there was reason for expectations to be placed upon this team. Number five on this list of the most disappointing teams of 2022 is the New York Jets.
You just made the list.
Number five. I mean, this team in the middle of the season had a championship defense. All they had to do was just have an offense to match. Now, unfortunately for them, Breece Hall, who had an offensive rookie of the year campaign all lined up, blows out his knee. Elijah Vera Tucker, their best offensive lineman, goes out, and the offensive line falls apart. Nobody can run the football. I have no idea what happened when they acquired James Robinson from the Jaguars. I thought, there you go, plug him in. He hardly played. I have no idea what the hell was happening on the offensive side of the football. Mike White had a flash of a moment. They start Joe Flacco to start the season and finish the season. They finished the season with zero touchdowns. In the final three games, zero touchdowns in the final three games. Talk about a disappointment. They had an opportunity. The Dolphins get in. The Dolphins get in because the Jets couldn't score a freaking touchdown against a team that was begging to be bounced at home. Talk about disappointing. I'm disappointed. Let's see what they do moving on. And of course, I didn't even mention what the hell happened with Zach Wilson. Number four on this list is a team that fired their head coach just today. The Arizona Cardinals had some high hopes. They made the playoffs last year. They had an 11-win season. Yes, they got one and done, but even with DeAndre Hopkins missing the first six games, we were supposed to see the freshly re-signed to a monster contract Kyler Murray come out and do what he did last year, and it wasn't even remotely close. They blew J.J. Watt's final season. I mean, he looked terrific yesterday. Talk about a disappointment. My goodness gracious. They're now without a head coach. The general manager, Steve Keim, steps away in the middle of the season. He's now out as well. They need a new coach. They need a new GM. But they've re-signed Kyler Murray, who apparently the locker room needs to have a refresh button hit on their relationship with him, according to Patrick Peterson. And by the way, everyone else who covers the league will tell you this. Number three on this list is a coach, is a team that had an ability to win their division. They had a kid who could be an MVP coming into the season. He was definitely number one in your fantasy league draft. And the Indianapolis Colts just fell flat. And they had Matt Ryan as well. This was supposed to be the better match than Carson Wentz. Hey, Carson Wentz, say what you will about how bad he was in Indianapolis. He had a chance for this team to make the playoffs in the final week of the season, and they blew it. So they changed everything around, and then they fire Frank Reich, who you know, switch to Sam Ehlinger for some reason instead of Nick Foles. And they bench Ryan. They put the kid in there. He falls flat. They hire Jeff Saturday from high school and ESPN. The only unbelievable and just a disaster of a season. I mean, it got so bad with Saturday at one point, Steve Smith said that Saturday should be the first interim coach ever fired. Number two on this list, though, is the team, the only team that lost to the Jeff Saturday coached Indianapolis Colts, and it's the team that I had winning the division.
Number two,
the Vegas Raiders. They had it all working, man.
Yeah.
And now Derek Carr gets sent home. He gets Keyshawned because they don't want him to get hurt. He's gone. I mean, he's as good as gone. They needed to see what they had in Jarrett Stidham, as if he just met Josh McDaniels. He wasn't in the quarterback room for Josh McDaniels. Like, everybody keeps saying, we're going to see what they have in Jarrett Stidham. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Like, he didn't know him. I mean, they had it all lined up, and how much egg is on my face has nothing to do with it. Because when it's all said and done, when they lost to the Chiefs, the Raiders finished, wait for it, 8 games behind the Chiefs. 8. Whew. Talk about a disappointment. But number one is a team that had the coach and the quarterback, and they fired a coach in the middle of the season, and he was clearly not ready for the moment. And we have no idea how Russell Wilson is going to look moving on. I mean, they finished up strong, very nice, but everybody thought, just add Russ and forget about not cooking. The kitchen went poof. The Denver Broncos are the most disappointing team in the NFL of 2022. And that wraps up this Monday show. We'll chat with you Tuesday.
For over 40 years, Jim Ross has been the voice of wrestling. Nobody has stories like Jim Ross, and he shares his tales with co-host Conrad Thompson on Grilling JR.
Vince McMahon was the top heel in the Attitude Era. It was a fresh character. It was new. It was material that we had not seen or heard to that date. And we could have created a bigger or better heel.
No.
And we wanted to make more heels, and we tried to make more heels, and we did. But nothing compared to Vince.
The Grilling JR Podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.